Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Matthew in chapter 12. And the title of this week's message is Greater Than. Matthew in chapter 12, and starting with verse 1, and we're going to read down just several verses here, and then we're going to look elsewhere in the scriptures. But starting with verse 1, it says, At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now that was perfectly lawful. Now if you look at the law of Moses, if someone was passing through someone's cornfield, they could eat, you know, what they could while they were there, but they wasn't supposed to fill their pockets and carry anything out, but they could eat their fill while they were in the cornfield, so they wasn't doing nothing wrong. But it was on the Sabbath day, and so we're getting ready to see it's going to stir up a little bit of a mess here with the Pharisees. In verse 2, But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, it was lawful, but not in their eyes on the Sabbath day. Any other day had been fine. But Jesus said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him? But for the, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now, boy, he made some pretty heavy statements right here. And you imagine how this must have sounded to these Pharisees. He kind of schooled them a little bit. And he talked about, you know, how when David, King David, fled from before Saul there. He went in and the men that was with him and the priest gave him the shewbread to eat. And it was supposed to be just reserved for the those of the priesthood. But you know, these men were hungry and they were in need and this bread was getting ready to get thrown out anyhow. And so therefore, they eat it. And then on the Sabbath day, you know, nobody was supposed to work. But the priests were very busy working, doing the daily sacrifices and going through all the ceremony and the ritual of the law. But they were blameless, even though they were working hard every Sabbath day with all these sacrifices and stuff. And so he highlighted those two points. And then, you know, he tells them this, But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. So see, David, the example of going into the temple and eating shewbread. And then the other example was the priest working on the Sabbath day. And he's going to address that. But first he says, But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Greater than the temple? See, that was their most marvelous religious symbol. And, you know, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis nowadays on religious symbols. And they get all caught up in a religious symbol instead of thinking about the truth and doctrine and living right. And they're all about the symbols more so than the substance, so to speak. And then he says in verse 7, But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Oh my, now he hit another nerve with them here when he said he's Lord even of the Sabbath day. Not only said there's one here greater than their greatest religious symbol, their greatest religious ceremony, the weekly Sabbath. He said he's greater than he's Lord of the Sabbath day. Now keep these thoughts in mind and turn with me over here. And we're going to go to the book of John. And we're going to look at in chapter 8 at a few verses over here. And John, the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And Jesus says here, starting in verse 51, Verily, verily, I say unto you, If a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. never see death. And by the way, we're going to have to go back over here to Matthew 12. I should have told you to hold your spot there, but Matthew and 12 just kind of mark your spot. But we're going to read a few verses here in John chapter 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? So he asked, they were amazed. You know, wait a minute, you think you're greater than Abraham? He's dead. You know, and you said, somebody keep my sayings, he'll never taste death. Abraham's died. Are you greater than him? You know, and they even made a reference to the prophets there. So, and also, we won't read it, but you think about this. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he said he'd give her water that she could drink and never thirst again. And she said, you know, talk about Jacob giving them that well. She said, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? And so, you know, whenever Jesus would make these statements, I mean, it would kind of, you know, it would bother them, you know, because they didn't realize who they were dealing with. Go back with me over to Matthew in chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 38, Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in this, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What statements? Now, of course, earlier in this chapter where we started, he talked about, that being greater than the temple and being Lord of the Sabbath. And, of course, I took you over there to John and they ask a question, are thou greater than our father Abraham? And they even mentioned, and the prophets, that Abraham's dead, and the prophets are dead. Are you greater than, Father Abraham? You say, man, keep your sayings, he'll never taste death. They're dead. Are you greater than them? And then Jesus uses the prophet Jonah here as an example and said there's a greater than Jonah here. And then talks about how the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, if you read it over in the Old Testament, she came with all these, she had heard say about Solomon's kingdom and how great it was and how wonderful and all the marvelous things that people told her about it, and she didn't believe it. But when she got there, she realized it was greater than the fame. The people hadn't accurately described it to her. She said the half wasn't told to her. A lot of people try to apply that statement talking about heaven, saying the half ain't never been told. Oh, not a fraction's been told about heaven. They wasn't a half told about Solomon's kingdom, but a fraction hadn't been told about heaven. But whenever she seen all that, she was amazed at it. But here in verse 42, we'll read this, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, now think about it. Solomon was greater than anybody in wisdom and riches and the splendor of his kingdom. Nobody's kingdom, nobody's riches, nobody's wisdom exceeded Solomon's. But all of a sudden, Jesus makes a very awesome statement. A greater than Solomon is here. So what do we have here? We have Jesus trying to get us in perspective exactly who he is. See, he talked about the greatest religious symbol of all, their temple. And, oh, they would say, you know, about the temple of the Lord, and you'll be amazed. Even the disciples said, Lord, look what buildings are here. And he told them, he said, there'll not be one stone left upon another. Well, whenever the Romans came in 70 AD and destroyed that temple, that didn't diminish God one bit. And then if somebody breaks the Sabbath, that don't diminish God one bit. And those prophets and kings of old and the patriarchs of old, that all passed away. That didn't diminish God one bit. See, he is greater than. You remember in math, in math class, the little greater than and less than, you do like 3 is greater than 2, and the gap is like a V laying on its side, and the wide gap would point toward the larger number, and the little point would point toward the lesser number, and 10 is greater than 8. Well, nothing you can reference is greater than the Lord. He's always greater than. And this is something that, like I say, people get caught up in the religious symbols and the religious ceremonies. And when Jesus set them straight here in the early part of Matthew chapter 12, he said, there's a greater than the temple is here. He's greater than any religious symbol you could come up with. And he's also greater than any religious ceremony that's ever been performed. Because it's about him. A lot of people put more emphasis on the ceremony than the substance of the ceremony and what it represents. Just for instance, the birth of Christ. Oh, my land, now the world went crazy celebrating Christmas and blowing all their money, and it got all the jingles and everything, and a lot of it ain't got nothing to do with the Lord. They forget about a little lowly scene there where Jesus was born and laid in a manger. Very lowly, humble beginning. He didn't have all the pomp that may have went along whenever maybe a king somewhere is reigning on a throne, had a little boy, and he's going to be heir to the throne. Oh, and a big deal and a big celebration. You know, he didn't have all that as far as the earth was concerned, but boy, heaven was rejoicing. Them shepherds out in the field, oh, there they seen. Hallelujah, the host of heaven saying, glory to God in the highest, you know, and singing. And they went, and after the angels departed, they went in there and they found Jesus, just like I said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. So the heavenly host rejoiced, but there wasn't a lot of earthly pomp. But nowadays, people say they're celebrating the birth of Christ through celebrating Christmas, but I'm afraid Jesus gets left out of most of it. And a lot of this old pagan stuff's got infiltrated into about all the Christian celebrations, whether it's Christmas or Easter or whatever it might be. You know, they got a lot of stuff that's come along. It's just got mixed right in with it. They ain't got a thing to do. Like bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and all that stuff ain't got a thing to do with the resurrection. The origins of those things was pagan origins. There's old false religions and idol worship and stuff. But Jesus is greater than any religious symbol. And he's greater than any religious ceremony. Hallelujah. He's greater than all that. Oh, people can get all caught up in religion and get caught up in the symbols and the ceremony. Oh, but we got to look at who it's all about. Jesus is greater than all that. Hallelujah. But then, look here. Talk about people. You know, people have iconic symbols, so to speak. I'm sure the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were greatly revered and to an extent rightfully so by the children of Israel. But Jesus is greater than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's greater than the patriarchs of old. Because he's the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he got to remember his rank now. He's God. See, whenever, you know, the brethren went up with Jesus in the mountain, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus was transfigured before them, and they seen Moses and Elijah there with Jesus, Peter didn't know how to act, didn't know what to say. He just wanted to make 3 tabernacles. He kind of wanted to equate them all. And God Almighty, God the Father, spoke out of the cloud and set Peter straight, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. See, them men wasn't Jesus' equal. not the patriarchs of old, and not even the prophets of old. He said a greater than Jonas is here. Those prophets died. When Jesus died, he resurrected. A greater than Jonas is here. So he far outranks, by no comparison even, he far outranks the prophets of old. Not only the symbols and the ceremony, the religious symbols and religious ceremony, he outranks the patriarchs of old. He outranks the prophets of old. And guess what? He outranks the kings of old. And you look at Solomon with all that wisdom and all that splendor with those riches that he had. Nobody had more wisdom. Nobody had more riches. Nobody could even accurately describe it to others. And they come, the queen said, the half wasn't told me. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Hallelujah. Solomon, probably compared to Jesus, looked somewhat simple-minded. Probably looked like a big dummy compared to the wisdom of Jesus. Now, when everybody else compared to Solomon didn't look too smart, Solomon compared to Jesus didn't look too smart. See, Solomon's, the source of his wisdom was the Lord. You got to come to the source. He's greater than Solomon. And Jesus is able to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Even in Solomon's kingdom, they were still poor folk. Here and there through the kingdom. Now, and that's in spite of... it said He made silver as stones there in Jerusalem. There was so much gold and silver gathered in and so much riches there in Jerusalem in Solomon's day. That if maybe somebody just dropped a silver coin or something on the street, they wasn't no more likely to bend over and pick that up as they was just a regular gravel. And you think about this nowadays, or I can go through parking lots, people drop change. A lot of times they won't bother if their change hits the ground, they even bother to pick it up because you know the value of it. Well, the riches had increased in Jerusalem so much that even a piece of silver wasn't nothing to be accounted of. People were so wealthy and prospering, and the kingdom was prospering, and Solomon was rich, and the whole realm had prospered so much that silver wasn't no big deal. There was so much gold around, silver was, and you know, whatever, that's just a piece of silver. You think about that. The riches that the Lord has is greater than that because He can supply everybody's need according to His riches and glory. You know, guess what? Solomon wasn't able to do nothing about the sin problem of mankind. And see, Jesus was the only one that was able to do anything about the real problems of man, and that was our sinfulness. Because He's greater than even sin. He's able to overcome every temptation. He overcame sin. He knew no sin, but He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, He's greater than the religious symbols. He's greater than the religious ceremonies. He's greater than the prophets of old. He's greater than the patriarchs of old. He's greater than the kings of old. But hallelujah, it goes further than that. He is greater than death itself. Oh, there, you know, all them died. But remember what He said over in John. He that believes His words shall never taste death. Oh, you think about that. Never taste death. Boy, that struck a nerve with them because they knew the prophets and all of them, died. The patriarchs had died. The kings had died. And if you'll look back with me over at John chapter 8, just briefly, in verse 51, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Well, he has to be talking about the second death, the one that really matters. The physical death ain't no big deal. He's going to resurrect us. But those that reject Jesus and don't keep His sayings, and they are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into the lake of fire, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. He said, this is the second death. He said, blessed holy are them that take part in the first resurrection, for on such a second death hath no power. So we don't have to worry about that eternal spiritual death if we put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because He's greater than death. Think about that. He's greater than death. He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He said, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But I thank God who hath given us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's worth serving because he's greater than death. He'll bring us out of the grave one of these days. Maybe you're beat down with life and you just feel like you're just suffocating with stress and heartache and burdens in this life. Well, let me tell you something else. Jesus is greater than every bit of that. He's greater than your trials and afflictions. He's greater than all your doubts and fears. He's greater than any challenge that you'll ever face. He can help you overcome it. But you need to put your faith in him. Because he can't help you if you don't trust him to help you. He'll not force himself upon you. But he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly now. Think about it. Meek and lowly in heart. He's just wooing you to come to him. He said, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. So if you're burdened down, Jesus is greater than that burden. If you've got trials in life, he's greater than those trials. If you've got afflictions, oh, he can send healing. He's greater than those afflictions. If you've got doubts and fears and challenges that you're just overwhelmed with, Jesus is greater than that. He's greater than any problem you've got. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He didn't say, well, now don't bring such and such to me. I can't handle that, but now the rest of it, I believe I might be able to do something with that. I might be able to help a little bit. No. He's greater than all those things. There's nothing that's even a challenge for him. Nothing's hard for God. His arm ain't too short to help. His ear ain't dull of hearing, and his arm ain't too short to help. He can help you overcome anything in life, but you got to trust him with it. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So he's greater than everything I've talked about today. Greater than the religious symbols, greater than the religious ceremonies, greater than the patriarchs of old, greater than the prophets of old, greater than the kings of old. He's greater than death itself. He's greater than any problem you've got. But you've got to trust him with it, and you've got to come to him. Oh, maybe you feel beat down today. Or maybe you're doubting, I just don't know if he can handle this. He's greater than that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ain't never been saved, won't you just bow your head right now and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask him to save you and forgive you. He gladly will. You don't have to talk him into it. He wants to. It ain't how fancy you pray it, it's how sincere you pray it. Call on him. You'll see he's greater than anything we'll ever face in this life. And maybe you're out there struggling as a Christian, and you feel a bit overwhelmed. He said, but when my heart is overwhelmed in me, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. He's greater than any challenge. So come to him. Call on him. Trust him. He will deliver you. And until next time, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.